Hey, good morning. Welcome once again to Black Hawk Church. My name is Ben, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here. Welcome to everyone who's live here in the room, anyone who can hear my voice on our podcast, or if you're seeing my face on a screen, whether you're watching online or worshiping across the hall in Gospel Fusion and Traditions, or downtown, or at Fitchburg. To the Chinese speakers in our congregation, Ti Xiang Jie Mei Ping An, y a los hispanohablantes, un abrazo muy fuerte en Cristo. And there are more than a dozen other languages spoken here at Blackhawk, so today a special welcome to our Korean speakers, 환영합니다. To everyone, it's so good to be together as a family. And we're going to play a little game together to get our juices flowing here. I work predominantly with middle school students, and I've learned through the years that grown-ups like games too. So we're going to do it. There you go. This game is a little thing where you're going to name your favorite thing in a few different categories. Now, don't think about it too much. Just answer with the first thing that comes to mind for you. All sites and venues, play along. I'll count down from three, and then all of us out loud are going to say our thing. Okay, you ready? First category, what's your favorite holiday? Okay, think about it. Don't think too hard. What's the first thing that comes to mind? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Okay. I don't think I heard anybody say daylight savings. I don't know. Maybe somebody said Pi Day. You're really looking forward to Thursday of this week for Pi Day. All right, okay. Next category. This will be probably easier for some of us, but maybe harder for others. What's your favorite boy band? Okay. You can go all the way back to like the Jackson 5 or anything up through BTS today. Okay. Think about it. Just think about it. Think about it. Favorite boy band. Okay. Some people think this is a funny question. I like that. That's good. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Okay, there was some passion. Someone over here, I think, said New Kids very passionately. That was very good. Not enough people said these guys right here, Boys to Men. Oh, yeah, okay, a couple of people. Yes, that was me. There you go. All right, we'll talk later. There you go. Okay, next category, favorite flavor of ice cream or sorbet. And if you feel passionately, like let's really let it, I want to hear somebody from downtown all the way out here. Okay, all right, you ready? Okay, 3, 2, 1. Whoa, that was good. You betcha. We must be in Wisconsin, don't you know? There you go. That is good stuff. There you go. Okay, last one. This is just for the grandparents. Who's your favorite grandkid? 3, 2. Why? Why are you laughing? Someone answer. Don't answer. So, maybe they only have one. That's fair. That's good. Wow. Whew, there you go. All right. So why are these things our favorite? Why is it our favorite, you know, band or ice cream flavor or holiday, right? It's because that thing, it does something for us, right? We receive benefits from our favorites. Like, let's say your favorite flavor of ice cream could be like Zanzibar chocolate from Chocolate Shop. I heard some of you have been to Chocolate Shop, and you know that Zanzibar makes all other chocolate ice creams taste like frozen powdered milk, just a little color in it. And then it's so rich and flavorful. And you add like a scoop of warm blackberry cobbler. Oh, yeah. And that combination of textures and flavors and temperatures. Oh, my goodness. It does something for me, okay? Right? I receive benefits from Zanzibar chocolate with that scoop of cobbler in the form of sensory inputs that bring me joy. It's a favorite. Right? Now, we all laughed when I said favorite grandkid, but I think we can relate to this experience of favoring some people over others. It's part of human nature. We know how to play favorites. Within a certain group of people, there might be a person that, like, well, being around this person does something for me. I receive benefits, even if the benefits are as simple as I feel a little bit happier around this person compared to other people. We are in the fourth week of our series through the book of James, a series that we've called Faith in Action. And last week, James brought up the image of a mirror, and Chris brought this mirror on the platform because James wants to help us take an honest look at ourselves. And today he specifically wants to point out some of the ways that we can play favorites with others in our lives. And he wants to challenge that tendency for followers of Jesus. So are we willing to take an honest look at ourselves in this arena, even if it means that we might need to make some changes? So if you have a Bible or a Bible app on your phone, you can turn with me to the book of James chapter 2. We are going to be reading the first half of this chapter, verses 1 through 13. And I'll tell you, sometimes even in the teaching team room, we have a hard time following James's train of thought. He kind of likes to go on tangents from time to time. So I personally found it a lot easier to chew on this passage once I had a simple outline to help me understand where James wants to take us. So here is a simple outline of the passage. He has a main point, don't show favoritism in the first verse. He gives a specific example of favoritism, the rich and poor. And then he has an alternative that he wants us to consider. It's called the royal law. And so we will read the whole passage together, and then we'll go back and zoom in on a couple specific verses, especially, oh gosh, especially this one verse. Oh man. All right. Let's go for it. Okay, here we go. James chapter 2. Here's his main point. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. And then here's his example, and he gets out the mirror. He's showing his audience something about themselves. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, oh, here's a good seat for you. But you say to the poor man, you stand there or sit on the floor by my feet. Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. And then he talks about some specific circumstance that's happening in their environment. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? And then he starts talking about the alternative. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. He who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but you do commit murder, or implied if you show favoritism, you've become a lawbreaker. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. James has a big idea that he wants to get across, that following Jesus is incompatible with favoritism. And this idea of favoritism is a key concept for James. He uses that word in this main idea verse, and it comes up again in verse 9. Interestingly, James decided not to use a normal Greek word for favoritism. He uses a word in this passage that's only used by Jewish and Christian authors who are writing in Greek. Let's revisit that first verse. My brothers and sisters, don't hold the faith of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ together with prosopolempsiais. Okay, what's prosopolempsiais? It's a compound word in Greek that's based off a Hebrew idiom, and it means facelifting. Facelifting. James says that faith in Christ is incompatible with this facelifting, but not the plastic surgery kind, not like this, okay? It's from a Hebrew idiom. It comes from Leviticus 19. Check out this verse. Do not pervert justice. Do not lift up the face of the poor, nor honor the face of the great, but judge your neighbor fairly. You can almost like picture a courtroom scene type thing here. It's like, don't one or all elevate the other based purely on money, but judge your neighbor fairly. And so the NIV translators render that as partiality or favoritism. James says that following Jesus is incompatible with this facelifting, with acts of favoritism. And then James steps into an example. Now, while Leviticus says, do not favor either poor or rich, James gives an example that's specifically about favoring the rich. Well, gee, I wonder why. Which, from whom might I receive benefits? Which group of people kind of does something for me? Wealthy or impoverished? Ooh. It's true today, but it was really true when James was writing this. Our economic systems today and 2,000 years ago were entirely different. Let's talk first about today. Imagine with me that I make a new friend and we hit it off and we're having a nice conversation and I'm picking up on signals that he's rich. You know, sometimes you can tell. So, and we go out to lunch a few times and then he invites me to a Badger game. He says, oh, I've got season tickets. And we go and he's got great seats. It's like James says, like, here's a nice seat for you. And we're having a great time together. It's a really good game. And then during one of the timeouts, a song comes on over the PA. It's Motown Philly by Boys to Men. And oh my goodness, my friend is nodding his head, so I know that he's got good taste in music. I'm like dancing in my seat, Motown Philly back again. The timeout ends. I start singing one of their love ballads. It gets embarrassing for my friend, not for me. I'm just having a good time. And then I say, man, well, it would be awesome to be able to go back in time and see these guys live and in concert, right? And then my friend says, Well, they don't tour much anymore, but you know, I'm from Philadelphia, and so it's my sister's birthday in a couple months, and I'm gonna surprise her. I'm flying back home, and I've hired Boyz II Men to play at her birthday party. It's gonna be like a house show with like 50 people. I'm so excited. And I'm like, you are such a cool brother. Wow. And then he says, I could get another plane ticket. You want to come? Wow. Now let me ask you. Over the next couple months, whose text messages will I always respond to promptly? Oh, wouldn't want to keep him waiting, right? Oh, my heart knows how to play favorites. Fancy stuff is fun. So when I think about favoring a wealthy person and the temptation to respond in that way, that's what it might look like for me. And here at Blackhawk, we've got folks who are all across the map financially. So it might look a little different for each one of us. That's today. What about for James's audience? Well, for the vast majority of them, their lives depended on rich people. Think about a world with no health insurance if you're sick, no disability insurance if you get injured and you can't do your job, no renter's insurance if there's a fire in the building where you live, no Social Security, no food pantries, no GoFundMe pages, okay? So people didn't just kiss up to the rich so they might be able to enjoy some fancy stuff. If a wealthy person likes you, that's someone who will take care of you when life goes sideways. So when James says, don't favor the rich, he's saying something that could put their very lives at risk. Why would he say something so radical? Let's take another look at the text. If you treat these two people differently, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? This phrase, discriminated among yourselves, there's a double meaning in the Greek. It means also divided within yourselves. Not only have you done a false and evil thing, but now your community is fractured, right? Favoritism tears families apart. It's why we all laughed at the suggestion of a favorite grandkid, right? And if we're brothers and sisters, the same can happen in God's family. And then James pulls back the veil between heaven and earth to show us something just mind-bending, something upside down. He says this, listen, verse 5, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? Whoa. There's a lot going on here. First, James points out that those who are poor can become rich in faith. Charles talked about this in his message a couple weeks ago, how poverty can grow a person's dependence on God. But then James adds another layer, and he calls them heirs. He says, whatever their life is like in this realm, in the kingdom realm, they're heirs. They're like rulers. The kingdom of God equivalent of like a trust fund baby in this realm. Like someone born with a silver spoon. You have everything you need in that realm. But then he takes it even a layer further. It's not just those who are poor. It's those who are poor in the eyes of the world. And this phrase, in the eyes of, this is not in the original Greek, but there's a grammar change between poor and the world. And the translators are using this English idiom to convey something that's happening in the text. It's as if James is saying, yes, I'm talking about financial poverty, but it's also much bigger than that. It's really anyone who is unfavored in the broken value system of this world. Anyone who's unfavored. Have you ever been unfavored? Do you know what that feels like to be unfavored? That's who God chooses. Sometimes in our journey of faith, some of the most significant moments are times when we recognize our weakness or poverty or sin or unfavoredness in this world. And we cry out to God. And sometimes in response in that moment, we can feel like the nearness of Jesus. And we recognize that it's like he's been waiting there all along for us to cry out to him. But he's specifically waiting there for us in that place where we feel beat up by life in this world. God chooses those who are poor in the eyes of this world to be rich in faith, in allegiance to the King. You can have all this world. I've got a robe, a royal robe up in the kingdom, and a gold ring that you can't buy. You can only inherit it from the King. Somebody say amen. Oh gosh, I need a break. Let me erase some green lines. Here we go. Wow. That's beautiful stuff. And we begin to see that James isn't just holding up this mirror for us so that he can like scold the church or something. We're beginning to recognize that this is good news. Followers of Jesus in our community should not show favoritism, and that's good news for the poor and unfavored in this world. Actually, it's good news for everybody. Check out verses 8 and 12. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing right. If I choose to love my neighbor as myself, I can't do the favoritism thing anymore. Favoritism is just cut off at the knees. That's awesome. So speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. This is an echo of a verse that Chris read in his sermon last week. He talked about the perfect law that gives freedom. And Chris said that when James talks of the perfect law that gives freedom, he's talking about the law or instructions of Moses as understood through the teachings of King Jesus. And the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself, is the second most important commandment for our Jewish Messiah King. It comes from the very same section of Leviticus as the verse that we pointed to earlier about favoritism. Check this out. You don't need to read the whole thing, but just notice, don't show partiality or favoritism. Love your neighbor as yourself. These two ideas are connected in Leviticus 19, and they're connected in the thought of James. James is helping the church to chew on Leviticus 19 as understood through the teachings of King Jesus. And it's good news. Love your neighbor and put favoritism away. It does something for us. We receive benefits. What benefits? Freedom. Oh my gosh. We can be set free. When I recall what realm I belong to, I can be set free from playing the games that this world wants me to play. You know what else? Love your neighbor. And the way that wipes away favorites, it's like a community superpower. It's like real graphic novel stuff going on now, right? This can break down divisions created by wealth and social status, and our communities can become whole. And if each of us is showing this kind of love, it means that we also in the community receive love without favoritism. And y'all, that's a good love. James doesn't talk about this, but this is good news for wealthy people too. You know, sometimes it can be painful for a rich person to wonder, do they like me for me, or do they just like me for the fancy stuff that we enjoy together? This is good news for all God's people. When you show love without favoritism, as the last line of the passage puts it, mercy triumphs over judgment. Ah, that's good news. So, James says, Jesus people, don't show favoritism. Instead, love your neighbor as yourself and be set free. And he wrote that 2,000 years ago. So, is favoritism still a problem in our world today? Gosh, oh my goodness. Just show up at any any school playground, any campus, any workplace, really just about anywhere. We know how to show preferential treatment. You find it in churches too. Why do you think James had to write this, right? So how do we become the kinds of people that James is inviting us to become? How do we cultivate this community superpower of love over favoritism? Well, here's a proposal. Here are three simple practices inspired by scripture and life experience that might help us to grow love without favoritism. Be with, be curious, check the mirror. Say it with me. Be with, be curious, check the mirror. Repeat the first one after me again. Be with. Yeah. If you want to love your neighbor, you can spend time with your neighbor. You could, become a part of a multicultural, multigenerational church. Wow, what a concept. Find the way to connect around here that fits for your life. When I spend time with someone who experiences life as unfavored, it becomes much harder for me to participate in that unfavoring behaviors. The newest one for me is related to a family friendship. So our son is autistic, which means that in our family, we have 14 years of experience of learning how the world is not built with him in mind, that this world favors people with typically developing brains. And lately, we've gotten to know another eighth grade guy and his family here at Black Hawk. And we found out that the two boys have a lot of shared interests. And so our two families are spending time together. And we do the quirky things that these two guys want to do, like ride the city bus downtown and go in the elevators at the Overture Center or the downtown library, go to a sporting event, but pay more attention to the scoreboards than the game. We are having so much fun together. And this new friend of our son's, he navigates the world in a wheelchair. And so his family has 14 years of experience learning how the world was not built with him in mind, and how disability is an unfavored status in our world. And our two families are learning from each other. It is a beautiful thing. I'll tell you what, in my own life, decades of life among God's people has been the single greatest factor for dismantling favoritism in my heart. When you're a part of a community that knows that God chooses those who are unfavored in this world to be not only his heirs, but also his ambassadors in this world, it changes your heart. Let me put in a special plug about this be with principle for our juniors and seniors in high school. Hey, when you think about life after graduation, let this idea of be with be something that's cooking in the back of your mind. Like if you move somewhere new, getting connected to a church community or something like that, you're going to receive benefits from getting plugged in. The community is going to receive the benefit of your presence. People of all ages following Jesus together, we need each other. Those benefits include love without favoritism and so much more. So seniors in particular would love to see you. We're going to be talking about this and a lot more and having fun together later this spring at our HSM Senior Day Away. So hope to see you there. Okay, that's the first one. Be with. Second one, say it after me. Be curious. Okay, this is like in James 1, he says, be quick to listen. And curiosity is just like a half step beyond that principle that James points out. Curiosity includes asking good questions and learning, right? We can ask genuine questions. Generally speaking, people are pretty good at talking about themselves. They enjoy sharing from their own experiences. But also, like, we can learn apart from that, right? Like, if I meet someone who's currently experiencing homelessness, they don't need to become my personal educator on poverty, right? If you want to learn about poverty in 21st century America, you could read a book like Evicted. This was UW's Go Big Read a number of years ago. It tells stories from right here in Wisconsin. And I didn't know this, but the author, Matthew Desmond, is a follower of Jesus. If you want to learn about race in America, you could listen to the Black Like Me podcast, which is hosted by a pastor of another awesome church right here in Madison, Dr. Alex G. from Fountain of Life Church. If you want to learn about how LGBTQ people can sometimes feel unfavored in church environments, you could listen to the Life on Side B podcast from our friends at the ministry called Posture Shift. Oh my gosh, they have fantastic conversations on this podcast. If you want to hear of one woman's experience of gender bias in the North American church, you could read Beth Moore's memoir. She's so honest and humble, Christ-centered. It's good stuff. Really, on any topic, please come find one of us on the pastoral staff. We would love to help you find a good resource, or you could just roll the dice and Google things and see what comes up. You can go for it. Whatever the topic, be curious. And then the third one, say it after me, check the mirror. If we're doing the other two well, we don't need to get stuck in like a loop of endless self-examination. We can check the mirror. Being with and being curious is going to surface some things that we're going to be able to notice about ourselves and our own hearts. Or sometimes someone else around us might act like a mirror for us. They might be able to say, almost like James, they might be able to say, hey, Ben, I notice in this situation, it seems like you're favoring this person over this other person. Can you tell me what's going on for you in that circumstance so I can understand? Be with, be curious, check the mirror. I don't know what you're going to find when you look in the mirror. I've alluded to a lot of things that I've seen through the years. Classism, gender and racial biases, attitudes about achievement in school. Ooh, that's a big one for us in a college town. My heart knows how to play favorites. In a world where that's how things work, I've found that I'm often in that favored status category, personally. But I don't really want to play those games anymore. I want what Jesus offers. And I am so grateful for my ongoing journey. Becoming this type of person, it does something for me. I receive benefits from being a part of a community as we together cultivate this superpower where love of neighbor defeats favoritism. And the primary environment for my own personal growth and transformation has been life among God's people. Thank you, God, for your church. What a beautiful community James is inviting us to become. When we love our neighbors, see each other through the eyes of Jesus, favoritism is defeated. That is good news for the poor and unfavored in this world. It's good news for everybody. In a minute, we're going to celebrate communion together. And communion is a table where God's people gather to renew our commitment to King Jesus and his royal law that gives freedom. Before we do, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for your church. We are a mess sometimes, and we've got a lot of work to do, but God, thank you for your people. Thank you for the gift of each other, and thank you for the gift of this hard work that we get to do together by the power of your Spirit. Thank you that each one who calls on your name has an inheritance, a royal robe, and a gold ring in a kingdom without end. And so your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.